This is the State of Things from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stachow. State legislature is in full swing. Lots of bills making their way through the process. For instance, the Senate leadership proposed its budget package yesterday. Here in Greensboro, city council members are focused on a bill making its way through the General Assembly that redraws city council districts and shrinks the council to 7 members. Joe Killian is a political reporter for the News and Record, and he joins us now. Welcome, Joe. Greensboro City Council could look quite different. Tell us about this legislation and its impact on Greensboro.
Well, it started out in the Senate. Senator Trudy Wade proposed that she's a former city councilwoman, and it could, it will, if it goes through, shrink the size of the council. As you said, it'll do away with at-large members so that all members are elected from districts, which will have the effect of cutting down the number of people you can vote for who represent you on the council.
Right now, 9 members, and it would cut it to 7?
Yeah, and it also would make the mayor a non-voting member of the council.
Unless
there was a tie, right. And so that bill went through the Senate. Passed quickly, went over to the House. It had less support in the House. It was very controversial once it was introduced. And it's been sitting in a committee where House members have the support, we're told, to put a referendum on it so that people of Greensboro could vote on these changes if they wanted to. That led Senator Wade to roll this bill into another bill, a less controversial bill that does the same thing in Trinity. So they've shot that back over to the House, and now the House is going to have to.
Where did this bill come from? Because this is a Republican-led legislature. Republicans, they are the party of small government and local control. Greensboro is smaller and more local than Raleigh. Where did this come from?
Well, I think it's easier to have very strong principles when you're not in power. Once you're in power, any principles that are adverse to your own power become a problem for you. And we've seen that again and again with both parties. But in this particular instance, Trudy Wade was probably the most conservative member of the city council when she was on it. But there aren't many conservative members of the city council. Greensboro's a pretty liberal, big D Democratic area. And so her feeling was that, by making this change, she feels like it'll be more representative. There are a lot of people who feel like it's going to cut down on the number of Democrats who are elected because at-large members are very often Democrats, many more registered Democrats.
So generally in Greensboro, does this divide along party lines? I know there have been some prominent business people in the Triad who have spoken out against this. How's it being received here locally?
It's actually been very divisive even within the Republican Party. There are several very prominent Republicans from our area, our sheriff, B.J. Barnes, former Congressman Howard Coble, Marty Kotis is a big developer here and Republican and a big backer of Trudy Wade. They're all against it. So there are some Republicans who are for it, but it's been extremely divisive. Democrats seem universally against it.
There's also a controversy brewing over one of the council members is stepping down to become the head of Downtown Greensboro, Inc. A little controversy around that. And is any of this legislation part of that controversy?
Maybe you can not that we can tell. There have been some rumors to that effect, but I haven't been able to substantiate anything about that. Today's Zach Matheny's last day as a city councilman. He will step down tonight. They will replace him tonight. The controversy has really been over who is going to do that. We now have, I believe it's 7 right now, but it's probably going to grow today, right down to the wire. People who want to fill in for him. And so,
well, they can always run for president because they're,
it's a little
Lord
like
knows
that.
That field is not crowded enough. So we'll see. And why is that controversial? I mean, there should be a protocol for what to do to
there
replace.
Is a protocol, and the process is not the controversy; it's the who.
Uh-huh.
There are lots of people who want that, and there's a certain number of people on council who feel that it should be somebody who's just going to fill out the rest of the term and then not run again. There's some other people who feel like, well, let's put somebody in there who maybe is going to run again, and we'll see them again. They'll be in a strong position to run for council. So that's
all
what
right, Joe.
Wants.
Well, thank you very much. As we track these news stories in Greensboro, we also know in business news, a $29 billion merger means the end of Lorillard Tobacco Company in Greensboro. The tobacco giant had roots in the 18th century New York and now has officially been absorbed by Reynolds American and Imperial Tobacco in a 3-way deal. Dick Barron is business reporter for the Greensboro News and Record. He joins us now. Hello, Dick.
How are you?
Good. The Lorillard Tobacco Company ended its run as an independent corporation. You looked at the history of this company.
Well, it was interesting. I was looking for a story that was better than statistics, and it frankly, I salute Google. I ran into a story about a woman named Louise Lorillard who married Elaine Lorillard, who married a man named Louis Lorillard. She lived in the resort city of Newport, Rhode Island, where 10 bedroom houses are called cottages. And she went to a man in New York, a club owner named George Wine, and she said, things are terribly boring in the summer there. And she was a music enthusiast. So she talked to him about a jazz festival, and they created the Newport Jazz Festival. Long way around it is a Lorillard got associated with the name Newport. And although she and her husband had no association with the company by then, down the line, about 4 or 5 years later, this was 1953 or so, about 4 or 5 years later, as George Wine complained, Lorillard saw that the name Lorillard and the name Newport, and although they had nothing to do with the company, they decided to market a brand.
Well, let's talk about that story by itself is fascinating, but how did Lorillard then come to Greensboro?
Well, Lorillard had built its factories here in late 50s, early 60s. And so at some point, the Lowe's Corporation, not our hardware company, decided to take the headquarters here to Greensboro. So it was the headquarters that was here. Manufacturing has been here over 50 years. So it's, you know, tobacco central right here.
So you've got a cigarette company, manufacturer, Lorillard, planting itself in Greensboro. You have an heir to the now what will be the Lorillard fortune associated with the Newport Jazz Festival, not the Winston or the Salem Festival. How does it come? There's a fascinating story because the Newport Jazz Festival was not always. There was a brief moment.
That's
when it was
right.
Something else.
The sponsor, I forget which years, it might have been the 60s, it was called the Cool Jazz Festival, another menthol cigarette. And again, George Wine, that the reason the whole story came up where he was complaining about sponsors, and he said Newport never sponsored it, even though they copped the name from the festival.
So then the Lorillard Company, when did they start producing a cigarette called Newport? When did the name become associated with the cigarette?
Around the late 50s. And they marketed it as a kind of a breezy alternative. It was, menthol is labeled as a smooth smoke. It's easier to smoke. And so all the ads and magazines had people seaside enjoying the fresh lifestyle, you know. And it over the years became the number one menthol, which is a huge and lucrative part of the business.
I always remember the Mad Magazine ad that showed somebody with a pack of Salem cigarettes going down a stream, and it said, "Don't smoke them, Salem." So that's how they marketed
those. Well, you could sail a Newport in these ads.
So now you've got the cigarette made here in the Newport Jazz Festival up in Rhode Island, and when do they finally decide to put the name on the festival?
Well, it was...
And sponsor. Actually,
it was
sponsors.
It was really not long after he looked around and wasn't sure. This is Mr. Wine. Wasn't sure whether to put it in a theater in various places. He first put it in the theater, decided to call it the Newport Jazz Festival in 1953, was when they finally got them. And she wrote them a check. This is Elaine Lorillard, wrote him a check for $20,000, and he said, "What am I going to do?" He said he'd never seen so much money in his life, and then quickly it really caught on. And you may remember the movie High Society. The backdrop to that movie with Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby and Grace Kelly was the Newport Jazz Festival. That was the backdrop with Louis Armstrong and some other famous people.
And it was after that brief run that Kool was the sponsor that Lorillard decided to actually sponsor the event itself.
Well, Lorillard never actually sponsored the event, which is the strange thing is the name was associated, but it didn't sponsor the event.
Well, why bother? It's free.
free advertising.
So now what's fascinating is with this merger, Winston and Salem, the two cigarettes that are named for North Carolina cities, are no longer Reynolds products, right?
Yeah, as a native of Winston-Salem, I can remember, everything Reynolds was infused into Winston-Salem. And so in the back of my mind, a Greensboro company making Winston and Salem is strange to me, but I don't know that anybody else cares. But it is a strange move, yeah. And Camel, which was also a flagship brand, though, stays with Reynolds American. So they still retain a flagship brand, but Newport becomes the number one brand for Reynolds American
And I guess we have just about a minute left, but I know tobacco companies still grappling with a product that is deadly. However, there's the vapor industry. What is the state of that industry or the tobacco industry in general and the impact of vapor?
Well, a cigarette that Lorillard, an electric cigarette that Lorillard made, which heats nicotine capsule called Blue, was one of the prizes that Imperial got. That's looking like a good future. It's selling well, and Reynolds at this time is going to make a cigarette called Views, and the two are going to try to hit the marketplace. A lot of people are adopting these cigarettes, and you know, I know that there are some places where you're allowed to smoke them inside because they don't create the smoke effect, just a little bit of steam and a lot of nicotine.
Not here. But anyway, thank you, Dick. And Joe, thanks so much for being with us. Dick Barron and Joe Killian, reporters for the Greensboro News and Record. You can find links to their story. Find links to their stories at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a new book from Wake Forest English professor Eric Wilson argues against keeping it real. Keep it fake, says Eric. Find out why on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.